Have you ever thought about how incredibly complex our spit is? It may only be 99% water, but your saliva isn't simple. That remaining 1% holds incredibly meaningful information that could change everything. And I'm not just talking about your family tree. Hi, I'm Baratunde Thurston, and on this season of Spit, an iHeartRadio podcast with 23andMe, we explore how DNA isn't just about ancestry. It can also be key to understanding your health. Hello, hello, and welcome back. On today's episode, we've got comedian and infamous roaster Nikki Glaser, host of the very funny Nikki Glaser podcast. Nikki and her co-host Andrew recently took a 23andMe test and are here to share what they learned in their reports. And honestly, they might be having a little too much fun with it. There's so much that Nikki and Andrew didn't know about their genetics and all the incredible things you can learn. Of course, there's all the amazing insights on your health and ancestry, but what really blew their minds was the nitty-gritty, from what types of earlobes you have to your preference for vanilla versus chocolate ice cream. Nikki and Andrew get into it all with their patented brand of brutal honesty. More importantly for Nikki, the real takeaways were in her health reports. The information she learned will definitely play a factor in her future decision-making, whether it's taking your reports to a doctor for more insight, adjusting your diet, or both, there's a lot to take away. And speaking of diets, if you're a listener to the show, it's no secret that dieting has always been important to Nikki. And seeing as she was predisposed to weigh 6% less than average was definitely a positive takeaway. As Nikki puts it, learning all these incredible things about yourself from your DNA really makes you feel seen. Finally, seeing that both Nikki and Andrew have a 50% chance at matching a musical pitch, they had to test it. Nikki even breaks out a guitar to check Andrew's skills. Do you think he nailed it? Let's listen in and find out.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. I am joined by Andrew Collin and Noah in Arizona. Andrew is in St. Louis. I'm in Los Angeles. Today's episode is a special one brought to you by us, but through 23andMe. Andrew and I both did 23andMe reports, which we got sent these like kits that just come in the mailbox. Not even like a special, like I didn't have to go to the package room. And you open it up. And you just spit into a tube, and then you seal it up, and then you send it back. It was, I mean, honestly, one of the easiest things I've ever done. I thought it was going to be a lot more swabbing happening, and I will say that there was a piece of carrot that was in my spit from when I had been crunching some carrots before. So in the spit tube, I had to like dig out a bigger chunk of carrot. A tiny chunk of carrot did get caught in it. So I did get the report back. I'm 70% rabbit. And so yeah. I think that was, you know, I think the kit was infiltrated by the carrot. No,
94%,
they didn't seem to mind.
Yeah, that you're going to be a ginger, I saw in your kit.
Yeah.
There's a strong chance.
It was, I was like, these people have seen it all. Like there was a little bit of like tint to my spit. I was like, they're going to be, I know they don't care. They've seen it all over at 23andMe, but I spit in that tube. I mean, it's fairly easy to do. You got to like, you know, I felt like it was almost a sexual thing of just like trying
to make
your own lube. Oh yeah. Okay.
I peed quite a lot.
Andrew came back 100% asparagus.
Yeah.
You peed in the box.
I just peed in the box and just, they can't, yeah, eventually.
Have you ever done one before? One of these 23andMe's?
No, my little brother did, so I figured if we had the same parents, it was going to be close.
Turns out he did not have the same parents.
Yeah, we found out, but his dad and mom were different.
Yeah, he was 50% milkman. I love that was always the person that your mom banged instead of your dad was the milkman.
That'd be so funny. How like different, like there was no Bumble, no Tinder, so you have to have sex with the milkman. Like that.
The mailman, the milkman, the pharmacist, the local shop.
Her doctor.
Yeah. So yeah, just sent that off and then got, and now with this thing, I thought it was, you know, the old 23andMe, my dad also got one report before. And so we got to kind of see our ancestry report, and it was pretty much what we had guessed. It was very Irish, very German. A little bit of, I had a little bit of Scandinavian and French in me, which I was excited about. But then now there's just so many more things that you can find out, on this 23andMe report.
Targaryen. I just want of dragons.
Well, I know that it is.
I couldn't really say
I
the
love
word,
how you
though.
Were trying to save yourself from that. You're like, no, I knew exactly what you were going for. I was just going to let you dig your own grave.
Yeah, it feels like it. It feels like a dragon just burned me to death. But it's cool. Anyways, your dad.
My dad had gotten it and shared his results. But I was always like, oh, well, I guess I don't need to do it. But now that there's so much more that they can find out for you, there's like all of the, it's like you get a whole health report that has your traits, things, physical features, like, and just like also health things that you should know about that you might be more likely to have in your life and maybe pass on to your children if you have them. And I just wanted to go over our results because some of them are pretty hilarious. And I just want to break it all down. In terms of like my, health, I lucked out. I'm a pretty healthy person. I don't have many like things that they were alerting me about, but you know, you can find out stuff that really could affect your health later in life, or like your family's health later in life, things you're predisposed to genetically. I have a likelihood, I found out, of developing type 2 diabetes. That's the kind that you're like, you can develop. I don't really know the difference between the two, but I guess I should now because I have a likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes. And it said that that likelihood would start between the ages of 38 and 80. And I just like that. I was like, did they choose 38 because I am 38? They're like, you don't even get a year before you have to start worrying about this shit, bitch.
Yeah, I like that we're watching in real time happen. Like it's yeah. Starting. Like I could see the type 2 in you for sure. I could see it. It's like, it's pretty yeah. Cool to watch it. Like, this is the start. This is the start of a whole new life. This,
it just
you know,
started.
Like, instead of buying a sports car, you're like, I got type 2 diabetes. That's my midlife crisis.
But what starts at 38 in your life? That's the only thing that I've ever seen where that the that is the marker. And I'm like, why?
Yeah,
why does it have to be brought
specific.
To my attention? It would be much nicer to be like, if it were, you know, it was 36 and I'd be like, okay, I'm 2 years in. I've already like escaped it. It's like, no, this is worrying about this now. So that's something I can be on the alert of because I really didn't know that about myself at all. And I would have assumed that I was not prone to because I don't really know my family's health history as much as I should. And I think this gives me a little bit more insight into that. I also have one variant of a rare genetic disorder that I found out if I mate with someone who also has another variant of this, we could pass on the MCAD deficiency. It sounds really scary. I was like, oh my God, what is this? And what it is if I mate with someone who also has this rare variant, that our kid could get this. And what the symptoms are, I was like, oh no, what is it going to be? Like it has like a golf ball head or, you know, like their arms don't disconnect from their torso or they have claw feet or something, which are all like things that are, you know,
and
I'm
cool.
I want to say this with no judgment. If you are someone that carries those things, or if you know someone that I'm just saying, those are possible genetic deformities that you can have if you mate with someone that also, if you like happen to find the person that matches with you. But mine is, I was like, oh, what's this going to be? I got to get Chris tested if we want to have kids. Like, I don't want our kid to like have something that affects them. And the symptoms of this deficiency are our kid would just get dizzy spells if he ever fasted. Who doesn't? So our kid, I'm like, Chris, if we mate, we got to make sure our kid does not do intermittent fasting. We got to keep him away from the Joe Rogan podcast. Yeah. He can't listen to that. Like, what? It's just such a funny, like,
he
you hear this thing.
He can't be a wrestler. Thing. Yeah, he can't yeah. be. He can't yeah. get into wrestling.
He can't do UFC fighting because he might get a little bit lightheaded.
He can't be Jewish.
It's oh yeah, exactly. Or he cannot be Muslim. Yeah,
he can't be Muslim. Yeah, he's got it. It's gonna be a tough life for him.
I saw this report and it was like, you know, there's like no, we're definitely having a boy. Are you kidding me? That's part of my report. must have a boy. No, on the report, it had like a exclamation point of like, make sure you see this. Don't miss this. And I'm like, what kid doesn't get dizzy from not eating? Like, I mean, I just feel like it was just a really funny trait. But they give you other stuff too. I was just lucky to have like none of those other ones. Did you have any of like the health ones, Andrew, that were like red flags?
Just 98% that I'm going to have a lisp and not be able to pronounce Targaryen.
That's not real, but you know what? That is. That's not a real one, but.
No, I had nothing really like jump out at me because I am a bit of a hypochondriac. So I was a little worried about learning genetic disposition or whatever, like or predisposition. I don't know if I want to know these things. Like part of me would like to be kept in the dark, but I get it. Like if. I think you have a responsibility if it's out there to know it.
And it's especially a lot of these things are just variants that you have on your genetic. So they won't display in a child unless you mate with someone who also has the same one. Like the chances. So if you do have this thing, you can get your partner tested. And then if they're in the clear, then you don't have a chance of passing this trait down onto a child. And your kid can stand up quickly after fasting and not get dizzy at all.
And if they do have the trait, it's an easy out if you don't really want to be with them anyways. So that's pretty cool.
Listen, I don't want my daughter to be dizzy when she gets anorexic inevitably someday because I pass that down to her from just, you know, more nurture than nature. You didn't have any ones. I thought you were going to be, no offense, riddled with these things. Like, it just seems like you don't even have like a likelihood of diabetes. Like, how did I get that?
I don't know. I guess the carrot was in there.
Maybe it was that little piece of carrot.
Food in it. Isn't that funny, though, to tell your girlfriend, look, it's not you, it's 23andMe.
That's hilarious. It is an easy way. You're having sex with 23 other
anything.
Women? No, babe, it's the genetic test.
I found out, so you went through
the traits, like, so you go into health and traits and you get this whole report and you get to see there's this one part. Let me just go to it real quick. Traits.
You're more likely to drink less caffeine, which is.
Yes.
If you told me this a month ago, I would say this is crazy, but you were able
Andrew,
to quit it.
Andrew was shocked by the amount of caffeine I consume. I really don't respond to caffeine that much. It's found that I'm more likely to drink less caffeine because my body doesn't respond to caffeine like other people's do, which is what they found in my report. And it actually checks out, and I wouldn't have known this had I not quit caffeine recently, although my decaf coffee intake has remained the same amount as it was before I quit caffeine. So what I'm craving is not the caffeine. What I'm craving is the ritual of getting coffee and having this warm, like, latte drink. It wasn't about the caffeine at all. I got a little bit of, like, caffeine headaches, but it was not anywhere compared to what I thought it was going to be and what I read about when people quit caffeine. And, so that actually, like, totally checked out. I was shocked to see that in my report. And then at the same time, I was weaning off caffeine and I found that I still drink as much coffee. It's just all decaf. So I'm not craving the caffeine. And it was right about that.
I like this one. You're predisposed to weigh 6% less than the average. I love a percentage in anything, you know? Like, it's just.
Yeah, it says I'm predisposed to weigh 6% less than average. It's like
you're going to be, you could be kind of skinny. You don't even expect it.
That is dead on. I think that actually did help me because I have been so obsessed with my life has been like dieting and staying underweight so much of my life. And like from the time that I never made it to like what my body's supposed to be as an adult before I was starving myself. So I never really knew. I was just always so scared that it was going to go over, that I was always starving myself. But really, if I just let my body do its thing, I'm going and eat like a normal person. I will be on average, I guess 6% less, weigh 6% mm-hmm. less than most people, which is like, it makes sense. My dad is like this lanky build and that was interesting to read. My genetic muscle composition is rare in elite athletes. Well, no fucking shit. They probably tested like the way I closed the cap on the thing. And we're like, this is not even all the way on.
Yeah.
This she girl threw the can't box throw a ball. Yeah.
I don't understand. So it's rare in it. Okay. So you have. Okay. That's in
my genetic muscle composition is rare. Yours is not.
Yeah, mine is in actually, it's in, I have a body of a guy that would be really good at sports, apparently.
Yes. Like, I mean, but yeah. Doesn't that make sense for you? Like, didn't that feel so good to read?
Yeah, it made me actually work out.
You have the word elite like, athlete. If this isn't a selling point to get guys to buy this report, you can see if your muscle composition is that of likely to be an elite athlete. I didn't know that these things could tell you that.
I mean, I think it's right. I think I definitely have it in my. I just have.
You can't
just
think
have
it's right. This is science. It is right.
Yeah.
No, but you. I mean, you've always said that you have like you're a natural athlete. That makes sense for you. No?
Yeah, for sure. No, it does. It does. It definitely. It just made me feel happy. Like, but then it's like if I'm not in shape or if I'm not feeling athletic, I'm like, well, it's there.
You're
I just
not
need
reaching
to tap
your
into
potential.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like I'm not. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. That makes
you
sense.
You have a 66% chance to not have dimples.
Yeah. So there are all these reports about like what your likelihood is of like having these different things. I want to go through them all. Dimples, I have. Yeah, I'm 66% chance I don't have dimples. Well, you're right, 23andMe. I do not have dimples. Thanks for rubbing it in that I'm not adorable.
On your face?
On your cheek dimple. cleft chin. These are all genetic things, apparently. 85% chance you do not have a cleft chin. Well, they're right. I do not have one. 80% chance that I never had dandruff. Who knew dandruff was genetic? I do not have dandruff. Did you get these reports for yourself, Andrew?
I did. I think I had a stronger chance of having dandruff, which I do have dandruff.
He has a 50-50 chance of dandruff.
Yeah. So
50-50.
I got the hard, bad 50. Yeah.
How do you take care of your dandruff?
I let it run wild and see what happens.
No, I don't.
Head and shoulders.
Is it like a thing where you're like insecure about it? Like, does it come down on your shoulders sometimes?
It used to. I mean, Head and shoulders. It really does.
Do you use Head and Shoulders?
I do. And body.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Head and Shoulders I use because I use another product for hair loss, which says that. I actually, this says early hair loss, not likely. I guess I'm old enough where it's late hair loss.
Yeah. Let's be honest with what they're meaning by that. You're not a youngin. You might dress like you're 22, but let's not forget.
Now let's take a moment and listen to a story of how understanding your health begins with understanding what your genetics say about you.
Natasha's 23andMe journey led her to an amazing reconnection with her dad.
It was kind of like an out-of-body experience, you know, because meeting my father was my journey since I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. In your life, you meet people, even your spouse, your kids, but you never meet a person who's a mirror to yourself. To meet my father and just to look at him, look at his eyes, hear his voice, it's just an amazing experience that, you know, after 38 years of you imagining everything, you can't comprehend it.
Natasha's 23andMe connection also helped her discover valuable insights into her health.
The main health history I learned is that my father has high blood pressure, right? And my mom has it too. And that to me just sent all kinds of alarms in my mind to say, hey, I am, you know, a high category of getting high blood pressure as well. So my mission, you know, in order to make myself not, you know, become that category is to just make sure I eat healthy, you know, make sure I'm living a stress-free life as best as I can.
23andMe helped Natasha answer questions about her history and her health that have changed her life.
If you're just feeling empty out there, I mean, just take them steps to, you know, get yourself better, answer your questions. And I would have felt that if I didn't take the steps that I needed, I would have always wondered, you know, not only for myself, but for my kids. So I think it's very important. Just take your health out, you know, live your good life, but you can live an even better life knowing, you know, what you're fighting up against.
This story was brought to you by 23andMe. Learn more about your ancestry and get personalized genetic insights into your health. Get started today at 23andme.com.
Eye color likely blue or green. That was right. Yeah. I mean, obviously that was. Yeah,
well, earlobe type. What about your earlobe type? Because I always knew that this was a genetic predisposition, was like if your earlobes are connected to your head or not at the bottom.
Mine are detached. Like, or no. They're connected.
Let me see. There's. Hold on. Let me go to this. Yeah. No, your eyes are not connected.
Oh, that's not connected?
No, that's a dangling. Like, will you just let go of it for a second?
Yeah.
Hold on. Will you just flick it? Let me see what the kind of motion we got there. Yeah, yours are detached. That looks like.
So mine are yours?
Mine are attached as fuck.
What? I've never even noticed. You never noticed.
Look it.
Oh, interesting.
It goes right down. There's no like, they're attached. I'm very proud of my attached earlobes. I love them so much. It's one of my favorite things about myself. But my 23andMe report said that I'm 80% likely to have detached earlobes. So I am beating the odds. I had a 20% chance of having these ears, and I got them, baby. I got them. Your earwax type. Mine is so 93% chance that I have wet, sticky earwax. Well, same. You nailed it. I think Asian people have dry, flaky earwax. I think it's more crumbly and dry. That's a thing I heard. And it makes sense because I don't have any, none of my ancestors are from that area. But my earwax, I wish they would have given me like a report about how much I'd have, because I produce so much. I feel like it's like, this should be 93% of my body is earwax, because that is how much I have. But it is wet and sticky and orange. It looks like carrots.
Maybe you can find maybe you need to break up with your boyfriend if he also has wet earwax, because that will be just too much.
Our child will just be oozing wax and fainting all over the place.
That one Mary Tussauds Museum or whatever. What's it called?
Oh, yeah. Madame Tussauds. Yeah. Our child will just be a Madame Tussauds sculpture. What about eye color? Did they nail it for you?
Actually, yeah. It said I'm likely to have blue or green, and your boy's got hazel. So that's, yeah.
What percentage?
It doesn't have percentage on my stuff.
See, it's interesting because my sister and I definitely have different genetics, because my sister's eyes are brown, and mine said I have a less than 1% chance of brown eyes. And it nailed it for me, 52% chance of blue eyes. What about finger length ratio? This was something I read about, that if your ring finger is longer than your index finger, you're more likely to be a lesbian. Or maybe it was your ring finger.
Lesbian,
maybe it was the other one.
I'm a lesbian.
Hold on. Let me look it up, because there was like a thing going around on TikTok. Ring finger point lesbian. Let me just type this in, because for a while I sent it all to all my friends, and it kind of depends on how you hold your hand. This is in the BBC. Length of ring and index fingers are linked to sexuality. Women whose left index and ring fingers are different lengths are more likely to be lesbians, a study suggests. My left hand, they are exactly the same length. So I think I'm... scientists measured the fingers of 18 pairs of female identical twins, where one was straight and the other gay. On average, the lesbians, but not the straight twins, had different sized index and ring fingers, typically a male trait, but only on the left hand. So, typically a male trait. It said I have a 56% chance my ring finger is longer than my index finger. It is slightly longer, but almost exactly the same size. Freckles. Did you have a report about your freckles?
Little freckling is, but I have a few frecks, but nothing crazy. I mean,
I used to have more as a kid, but I have a 70% chance that I have few, if any, freckles. Hair photo bleaching. I did not understand this. Chance that you will experience hair photo bleaching. What does that mean?
I have a less likely chance to experience this. I don't know what photo bleaching is. I think it's that when...
Basking in the warmth of a sunny day is one way to lighten your mood and your hair. Photo bleaching is what happens when hair color lightens after a long exposure to the sun. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, got you. Yeah, my hair just turns grayer, I think.
So yes, I do experience hair photo bleaching because I used to get like white hair after the summer. So that's correct. 84%. Hair texture. It nailed it for me. 41% chance of slightly wavy hair. That is definitely my hair. Slightly wavy. What about yours?
Same. I know. I think the percentage.
Why don't you pull up your report? What are we doing here? Let's go to break and come back with more about Andrew's hair texture right after this when he gets his report pulled up. Okay, we're back. Andrew is gonna. You have wavy hair. It predicted that. Let's say what like really quickly. Newborn hair. It predicted that I had little or no hair at birth. Which is, I don't even remember, but that's so cool that I could know that. It also predicts the chances that you have red hair. I have a 1% chance of having red hair. I only have it on my asshole. So it was right. skin pigmentation. It definitely got it right. I have 39% chance of very fair skin and then 32% chance of moderately fair. So I am a whitey, white bitch. 65% chance I have stretch marks. I don't have stretch marks. So it got that wrong. I am a goddess. Toe length ratio. Chance that you have a longer big toe. And the 43, I have a 57% chance that I have a longer big toe, a 43% chance that I have a longer second toe. My second toe is longer. I beat the odds.
Same.
It predicts a unibrow. If you have a unibrow, 50% chance I do not have a unibrow. I do not. There's a 42. I like how they phrase this. 42% chance you have a little bit of a unibrow.
Yes. Which I have.
Just being delicate. You have a little bit of one?
A little bit of one. That comes a lot.
A widow's peak? Do you have a widow's peak? I have a 77% chance. I don't have one.
I'd feel like women are way less.
Let me see yours.
I have a widow's peak for sure.
Well, you got deep tracks too that are accentuating that. I can't tell if that was actually your hairline before or if you ever receded on the sides creating one.
I have a hair which my wife wished she was a widow. She jumped off a peak. Okay, having fun.
And then there's other things where it talks about taste and smell. It smells like it says I'm likely to smell asparagus in pee, which isn't true. I can't smell it. So I'm beating the odds there. I'm likely that I can taste bitter. Cilantro taste aversion. I would love to see Noah's report for this because she hates cilantro. She tastes soap. And I have a slightly higher odds of disliking cilantro, but I love cilantro. It is one of my favorite flavors. So that's I beat the odds for that. This is crazy. Ice cream flavor preference. I'm more likely to prefer chocolate over vanilla. And goddamn, are they right? I don't understand people who would ever prefer vanilla over chocolate. I know vanilla is a taste and that it isn't the lack. Like some people associate vanilla with like plain. No, vanilla is a specific taste. What would you like? What do you like more?
This tells me that I'm more likely to like chocolate, but I am. I would say I lean more to vanilla. Sorry, 23
really?
Me. I'm not gonna.
If you want to do, but you get no topping. No, you get no topping. You just get a bowl of ice cream. You are gonna go vanilla over chocolate.
Yeah, vanilla, because I like a vanilla shake over a chocolate shake.
Whoa! I am blown away. Okay, sweet versus salty. What did it say for you?
Oh, sweet versus salty. Let me see if I can find
it. It's right under ice cream. For me, it says I likely prefer sweet, and they are correct, sir.
Prefer salty for me. That's why I guess I like to go down on my lady.
So what they do, they say, Nikki, the combination of your genetics and other factors make you likely to prefer sweet sex. So they take everyone's results and then they put them against each other. And then based on surveys they do, they can determine what you like. And so they nailed it for me. And then I really loved this. Then they do. There's a whole section called Weird and Wonderful, and there's 11 different traits. There is a thing. First of all, I just want to say that it says I'm less likely than average to have a bunion. And boy, is that off. Fear of heights. I'm more likely than average to be afraid of heights. That is true. I am less likely to have a fear of public speaking. That is not true. I had a huge fear of it. I had to conquer it. Flat feet. I am less likely to have flat feet. I do not have flat feet. That is correct. Less likely to have thick hair. Fuck you, 23andMe. You're right on that one. Misophonia. I am more likely to hate chewing sounds. That is true. I like some of them. The only ones I can't stand are my mom. She chews with her mouth closed, but her jaw cracks in a way that disgusts me. Mosquito bite frequency. Well, this just came out last week that your smell and your, like, if you have this certain kind of chemical in your skin, mosquitoes are more likely to bite you. And I am likely to be bitten more often than others. I actually, as a kid, got bitten a lot, and I don't anymore. I do think it's because of a vegan diet. That's when I felt the shift. Motion sickness. I am more likely to experience motion sickness. I do not feel like that is true for me. Photic sneeze reflex. That means when you see a light, you might sneeze. I am likely to not have that. Mm. And a wake up time. What is your wake up time it gives you? Or likely to wake up around?
56 years old. It says, so I'm hoping everything works out. No, 7:58 a.m. Why? What are you?
Oh, my
that's
God.
Pretty early for me. Yeah.
Mine's what 8:23. Is
yours? 1 p.m.
8:23, which is so early. I would love if they said 11:45.
I already got so much done. Yeah.
But then the really interesting one, which we're going to test out, is ability to match musical pitch. I have about a 50-50 chance of being able to match a musical pitch. I don't really understand exactly what this means. If you hear a musical note, can you sing it back? While matching pitch comes natural. Oh, this is just being if you have good pitch or not. So, Noah, give us notes, and then we'll go back and forth and try to match them. And really, the only way to determine if we're right is based on the other people who are hearing it and our listeners. So listeners will see. What is your musical pitch likelihood?
50-50 as well, I believe. So we'll see what happens. Let's see which 50 it is.
I have a feeling that you have a pretty good pitch based on...
I think I could hear well. I don't think I can say... It's like the same way I can't
pitch,
do impressions.
Babe.
Yeah, so I don't know, babe.
Babe? Okay, so...
Baby cakes? Hey,
let's
baby?
Let's try it out. Noah, will you give us some pitches?
Okay, let me give you the key.
All right, this guy falls down a well. His dog saves him. And no.
I think it'll be great. Let's buy 12 episodes.
80%.
All right. Andrew, you go first. So she'll give you a note, and then you have to match it, okay? No, fail.
I can't get that high.
Let's do it again. Okay, now do it to a different note. I'll just bring out my guitar. Hold on.
Yeah, you should get out your guitar.
Okay. I don't know if I'm perfectly tuned. Okay, Andrew, match this. Wrong. One more time.
How do you know? You're my 50% not here.
Because I can. I think I have good pitch.
Let's hear
I'm
yours.
I'm not perfect.
A little higher, but it's on the same frequency.
Why don't you do an open like a G string or something?
Boom.
Boom. Okay, I'm serious, Andrew, you're off.
I'm not saying I'm on.
Besties, will you write to us and tell us what is... Because I really can't tell, but I think I'm right. But I always do. Okay, one more.
I don't think I'm right.
Okay, final thought. A couple more. This is fun.
Okay, give me...
There, you got that one right. That was good. That was good.
The lower ones I can hit. The higher ones are tough.
Okay, well, let's try this lower one again. The lower one you fucked up. Okay, one more time. Got it. Good job. Keep trying. Nope. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I really loved learning all this weird stuff and just like seeing like if my, you know, it doesn't tell you exactly what you are, but what it does is like it makes you look at the things that you do have and you go, oh, did I beat the odds or was I predictable in what I came out as? And it makes you feel seen.
I feel like I was so seen, and I think you were too when I looked at your results, that I can't flush alcohol, and it says you can't either. And it explains why our hangovers were so bad and why we probably quit drinking, because
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Neither one of us can flush alcohol.
Flush was like when your face gets really red.
Oh, no. I'm thinking like you flush it out of your system.
Oh, really? Well, which one is it? Because I did see that trait. I don't know. Where's alcohol flush? I want to find that. Damn it.
No, do you know what flush means? I feel like that's what it was, but maybe I'm wrong.
Here we go. Let me see. Unlikely to flush. I'm looking at this. Mine, based on your genetics, you are unlikely to flush after drinking alcohol. People with your genetics can typically process alcohol normally. As a result, they don't tend to flush bright red in the face or experience. See, this is another Asian thing. Asians, people with Asian heritage often get really red when they drink. I like how you're like, we don't flush it out of our systems. I wonder if this would predict if I'm likely to flush the toilet because I forget to flush the toilet all the time.
Oh, I living know. With I've someone, seen papers. It's like a dam in there.
No, living with someone. If I pee, like I don't flush. What if I'm living by myself? I don't care to pee on top of my pee. My pee, unless it's like bright yellow, I don't think it smells bad. But also, I don't smell asparagus pee, even though 23andMe thinks that I would. I always forget to flush the toilet. I often also miss the toilet paper going into the toilet. Like I backhand it behind me and it doesn't hit it in the bowl. And sometimes the toilet paper's just on the ground. Yeah. I would say 20% of the time.
I've never heard
that. I mean, if it has poop on it, I'm very...
I'll tell you.
Yeah. That's our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to 23andMe for hooking us up with all these fun and fascinating traits about ourselves.
You don't get the toilet paper in the toilet? What is going on, dude?
If there's poop on it, I will definitely get it in because I'm like cognizant. But if it's pee and it's just like, I just kind of like toss it. And a lot of times it's just sitting there. When I used to live with Kirsten in our house on Tennessee Street in college, she had like a meeting. She was like, who is not putting the toilet paper? And I was just like, I never admitted it, but it was me, Kirsten. If you're listening, it was me. It was me the whole time.
ADP.
All right, guys, it's me. Hi, I'm the culprit. It's P. Thank you for listening. Don't be and Jack. The lantern. Perfect pitch. Less than perfect.
Pitch. Not that great. Widow speak.
And that's it on another dope show. Did this episode inspire you to take a closer look at your health history, your genetic makeup? Who knew DNA could reveal so much about our past while also holding the keys to certain health insights that may impact our future? I continue to be inspired by these stories, and I hope you do as well. Catch you next time. Listen to Spit, an original podcast from iHeartRadio and 23andMe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.